Hello and welcome to House of Comments. We're all pretty D-Mob happy here because it is the final House of Comments of 2024. I'm Charlotte Henry. Emma Bunnell, we've made it.
We've made it. Woohoo!
We've done. Let's just reflect on what we've done this year. General election.
Yep.
US election.
Yep.
Some wars going on.
Lots of wars. Lots of other elections.
Lots of other elections. There's been some nice stuff too. When we remember it, we'll let you know.
I mean, I thought the general election was great.
Yeah, but it was tiring.
It was knackering, yeah.
Not. I was more thinking of the wars as the...
Wars were less great, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, we've had all sorts of interesting, exciting things. We've had some... all sorts of good conversations on this show. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, buy us a Christmas present. Patreon.com/House of Comments Podcast. You get a subscription. We get to keep the show going. Everyone's happy.
Very happy.
Yeah, apart from your cat. I'm just, do you know what? As I say, it's a bit end of term, so I'm going to reveal this. I can see Emma on the screen. Her cat has its backside towards me. She's furious at me.
She's not furious at you. She's furious at her enemies who come into the garden. She's standing guard.
Well, all I can see is her backside. And on that
thing... And
what
a pretty bum you have too, my darling girl.
Thank you. Before this sinks any lower, there's all sorts of very serious things to talk about. Obviously, the ongoing situation in Syria and the Middle East, the odd situation in Ukraine, Peter Mandelson becoming... looks like the ambassador to the US. There's all sorts of stuff we could talk about. But we're not going to. Get yourself some kind of seasonally appropriate...
Oh, hang on a second. Hold fire.
Oh, no, what's she done?
Hold fire. I forgot to do what I was going to do.
Right. For listeners, Emma has now returned with red antlers on. I feel like there's some kind of glitter going on as well.
There's definitely glitter. I think it might be on the wrong way round. Yes,
beautiful.
It is. Right. There's a bell, which is going to annoy the hell out of you when you edit this.
Yes, thanks a lot. This is fantastic for an audio podcast. So let's crack on with our Christmas quiz. I'm going to take host's privilege and ask the first question. Are you ready?
Okay, I am.
For context, another bit of context, I texted Emma about 10 o'clock last night going, oh my God, I've just realised what I've done. Because for people that don't know, Emma is a pretty competitive person anyway. She tries to hide it, but she's deeply, deeply competitive anyway. But to be fair, both of us are. This is not going to end well. But Emma's particularly competitive when it comes to pub quizzes.
I am. I'm a nightmare.
An absolute nightmare. And it took me far too long to realise what I'd let myself in for. Yes. Cue the evil laugh. Right. Let's get on with it. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Cue the dramatic quiz program music. And so my first question to you is, what is the name of Ed Davies' Christmas single?
Oh, that's so funny because that's one of my questions for you.
Brilliant.
Love is Enough.
It is called Love is Enough. It is in aid of carers. He turned up outside Downing Street, apparently, with a choir, which
yes.
is rather nice.
Yes.
The best bit about this story, I think I've mentioned this before, is the Lib Dems have promised... that if this song goes to number one, they will publish the video of Nick Clegg doing Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe that has been under lock and key for years.
I think Wham's going to number one, but...
I think that is so brutal that they were prepared to throw Nick Clegg under the bus like that.
I mean...
given...
what goes around comes around.
Well, there is a bit of that, yes, I suppose so. Go on then. What's a question that I haven't written?
So my first question for you is a nice, easy one. What was playing in the background as Rishi Sunak called the election?
Oh! It's the... Things Can Only Get Better.
Yes, well done.
Of course it was. Of course it was. Of course it was. Yes, In the Rain. I was going to say, was it singing In the Rain? But it wasn't. It was, of course, the new Labour anthem. Things Can Only Get Better. How many times have you sung that since the summer?
Well, I sang it quite a lot in July.
Yeah.
And then slightly more mournfully since then.
Um, What was the significance of the last seat the Lib Dems won in that 2024 general election?
Oh, the Lib Dems won.
The seat 72 of 72.
Was it the one that tipped the balance into Labour definitely getting a majority?
No, no, no. It was much later today. It was Friday morning.
Oh.
Or even later. It might have even been Friday afternoon by the time they got the count for this one.
Was it Joe Swinson's former seat?
You're on the right path.
I don't know. You'll have to tell me.
You were right on the right path. It was actually Charles Kennedy's old seat.
Ah.
Ross Skye and Lochaber, which obviously Lochaber. Was... Thank you for your Scottish translate. What is it?
Lochaber.
Beautiful. So, yeah, that obviously meant quite a lot to the Dems, as I think, a part of the resurgence and so on and so forth. So, yes, that was the final seat, number 72 of 72. Hit me.
Okay, so what is the Labour majority today and what was it at the election?
I was going to ask you this. So it was 180?
172.
So it was 172, so I think it's now 170?
No, 154.
How's it dropped that much already?
Because you have to count the seven people who lost the whip.
Seven,
so that's 14
are,
down. And then Mike Amesbury and has lost the whip as well because of badness.
Yep.
And Rosie Duffield resigned the whip. So
Oh, so it's actually down effectively, what, 18, 20?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That's me doing maths on a Friday morning. Yes, I nearly was going to ask you this. I was wondering about this. By the way, listeners, do let us know how you're doing on this quiz. You might be you might be beating us.
Well, so far you probably are.
During the general election campaign, Sir Ed Davey revealed where he met his wife. Where was it?
I don't know. Was it bungee jumping?
No, although again, your thought process is not a million miles off.
Cycling. He did a weird tandem thing. Did he meet her at a cycling club or something?
He didn't. He met her at a Lib Dem policy working group on housing.
Oh, the romance.
The romance. I mean, haven't we all had hot dates on the back of policy working groups? Actually, Emma, to be fair, probably have.
I mean... It's not unheard of.
It's not unheard of.
It's very, very... Yeah, local government finance is a hot, hot topic.
Is it? Is it really?
It can be. It's certainly the most heated exchange I've ever had at the National Policy Forum was when I was pushing very, very hard on some changes to local government finance policy.
Yeah, but you didn't get a date out of it, did you?
Not that time, no.
Right, there we go. Go on then.
Who is the Liberal Democrat spokesperson for Home Affairs?
Who is the Liberal Democrat for Home... Oh, is it... It's not Daisy Cooper. It's not Layla Moran. It's not Tim Farron. Is it a new MP?
I think so.
Oh, then I haven't got a clue.
Lisa Smart.
Oh, God, she's my friend!
Oh dear, I'm sorry.
I've known Lisa for quite a few years. Oh dear, I apologise profusely. I forgot she'd got that beat. Yes, very good.
Sorry, I did put that in as a, this is going to be fun one.
The evil
I'm
look
so
at
sorry.
It would be fine if it was just a new MP that I didn't know, but I've known Lisa for like quite a few years.
Oh dear. Oh, all right, dear. Well, you know, you've got time for revenge now.
This is probably not too vengeful. What football team does Rishi Sunak support?
Southampton.
Bingo. Very good. I think you, yeah, so he does support Southampton. He did actually go there whilst Prime Minister. He was there in the when they got to the Championship playoff final. I guess he went to Wembley as well. He's probably less enthusiastic about that now because they are hopeless. but yes, very good. And I think you'll get the next one right as well. We'll do it as a double header because it's a similar theme.
Okay.
Which football team does Sir Keir Starmer support?
Oh, Arsenal.
There you go. I knew you'd get that one.
Yeah. sort of the team I grew up supporting. I've never, as you know, been particularly into football, but where I went to school, you had to choose between Tottenham and Arsenal, and the boy I fancied was a junior gunner, so.
But the part of London you grew up in is Spurs?
No, I went to Stoke Newington School and Graysbrook Primary School, and whilst I moved up to Stamford Hill, which is more Spurs, when I was nine, by that point I had met Nigel Jackson, who was a junior gunner.
This is shocking. This is, I like that this show is also a bit of an insight into how you and I talk off air.
True.
Go on, hit me with your next question.
Who is the Shadow Secretary of State for Transport?
Can I just say, I've realised I almost know no one on the Shadow front bench now.
This is it. I mean, I was looking at it and I thought I could have chosen almost anyone except the Chancellor, Shadow Chancellor.
Yeah.
I'd never, ever heard of this person.
Well, that makes me feel slightly better. Because, I mean, you and I should pretend to have a slightly serious politics conversation in amongst our Christmas party. And that is, there is a serious... your question is demonstrating perfectly there is a serious recognition problem on the front bench, right? Shadow front bench.
Completely. Like they are... And given that transport has been one of the major focuses of the government...
Yeah.
Given that it, you know, since this person has been appointed, because I think it's happened since Badenoch's shadow...
Yeah, it should
have been imposed... and there's been a change of that. You'd have thought we'd have heard of this person, and I've literally never heard their name.
Well, that makes me feel better. Who is it?
Gareth Bacon.
Sure.
Yeah, right?
Where is he the MP for, do we know?
No idea. Let's have a
very
look.
Very good. So, look, in January, you and I can have a serious conversation about what the front bench...
Orpington,
there you go. But about what the front bench need to do to sort of become recognisable. Because if you and I are struggling to name these people...
Then they're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
We're geeks.
Yeah, and we should know most of this stuff. You're going to like this question from me.
Okay.
Number six. What is the name of Sir Keir Starmer's cat? They got a new cat to join Larry. What's its name?
I don't know. I'm just going to opt for a cat-type name. So sure. Boots.
You're not miles away, it's Prince.
Well, okay. Is it purple?
I don't think so. Doesn't like the rain either.
God, terrible. Okay, are you ready? This one is a five-part question. I will give
Sorry,
you
what?
0.2 for each part.
Sorry, listeners, this is exactly what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. The glint, the evil glint in her eye is unbelievable.
What are... As printed on the pledge card, Labour's five missions.
Oh, shut up. Something to do with growth. There was one about growth.
There is one about growth. I'll give you... Because it's Christmas, I'll give you 0.2 of a point for that.
Something about getting growth going. Is there a stop the boatsy type one?
There is not a stop the boatsy type one.
There's no immigration one?
No.
I have to say, I blanked out the horror of the campaign quite strongly. So there was definitely a growth, and there was no... There was a, like, fix the NHS one.
Yep. Make the NHS fit for the future.
Yeah. So I've got...
So the growth one is secure the highest sustained growth in the G7, which
right.
is a bizarre thing to promise, frankly.
Growthy, NHSy. There must have been an education-y one.
Sort of, yes.
Get rid of tuition fees? Who would pledge that?
No one. No one sane would pledge that.
No one
Charlotte.
Would pledge that, no. Fine, so there's no... There must have been an education-y one. Did they commit on the pledge card to 0.2% defence spending or 2%
nope.
GDP? To, not 0.2, 2%.
None of them are that specific, if I'm honest.
Yes.
Other than the highest sustained growth in the G7.
Mm-hmm. Cut crime.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Make Britain street safe.
Yeah, cut crime. So I've got 3 out of 5, I think.
So you've got 3 out of 5. So the other two are make Britain a clean energy superpower.
Should have got that one.
and break down the barriers to opportunity at every stage.
What does that mean?
Well, it's sort of the education-y one, but it's a bit wider than that.
I think I could be forgiven for not getting that one. I'm quite impressed with myself. 3 out of 5, actually.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
How much was donated to Keir Starmer for his clothing?
Oh.
Not the glasses. Not the very smart glasses.
60K?
16.
I knew there was a 6 in there somewhere.
Yeah. You were right. There was 60 and the glasses were over 2.
Right.
And as we said at the time, they're very nice
they're
glasses.
Very good glasses.
They're very smart glasses. Go on, hit me.
Okay. Which MP has the smallest majority and what is it?
It's David Pinto-Jasinski and it's 15 and it's the Hendon seat.
Well done. All points.
So back to that election campaign. ITV hosted the first general election debate this year. Who was the moderator?
Julie Etchingham.
Bingo. She did, and that was the one that was just...
Was that the one where she fainted?
No, that was a talk TV one.
Right.
It wasn't Julie Etchingham.
It wasn't Julie, it was Kate McCann, wasn't it?
It was Kate McCann.
Yeah.
You've got your blonde news presenters mixed up.
Damn it.
I guess both would be rather complimented by the comparison and the confusion, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think it's the worst mix-up I've ever made.
No, you've definitely done worse. And also, the Kate McCann one, I think Liz Truss was there. Liz Truss was still the late...
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're all right.
That was an involved... Liz.
I think that might have been the Truss Sunak off.
It was the Truss Sunak off. Exactly. But yes, it was Julie Etchingham that did that one. Then they had the, like, 7-part debate and then all of that kind of jazz. So go on, what's your next one?
Okay, so speaking of small majorities.
Well, hey.
Rick Holden did a chicken run from Durham to which safe seat and how many votes did he win it by?
So it was an Essex seat. Basildon and Billericay?
Well done, yeah.
It's a very, very small majority. It's not as small as David Pinto-Jasinski's. I think it's like 30 or something.
20. So I'm going to give you half a point for that.
Yeah, I was nearly cut my losses and went 25. But yes, he did do that and sort of just about get away with it. Don't think that decision went down particularly well with quite a lot of people.
Not his most popular decision. No, I don't think he'll be chair of the party again.
And I don't think he's on many people's Christmas card lists this year.
No. And I mean, the outrage from the local Tories, and it was a very, very safe seat before.
Yeah. No, it was the Conservatives who were the most cross with him.
Yeah.
It did not go down well. Talking of things that didn't go down well, why did an interview with Yvette Cooper generate over 1,000 complaints to Ofcom? Actually, it was about around. I don't know if it's over or just under. About 1,000 complaints to Ofcom with it's an interview with Yvette Cooper.
Now the whole I don't know.
You actually do know.
It's completely passed me by. Or if not passed me by, I've completely forgotten.
If I told you what programme this interview took place on, you would get the answer.
Go on.
The interview was on Good Morning Britain.
Oh, it's because she was interviewed by her husband. Yeah.
She was interviewed by Ed Balls, her husband. Yeah. Which
is bizarre.
I don't exactly know if you thought that was ever going to end well.
Just a dumb idea.
Not one of the political TV highlights of the year.
No.
Do you think, this is what I want to know, right? Do you think they discussed it over a cup of coffee in the morning before they both left for work?
I suspect they probably pointedly didn't, as if that would make a difference.
Can you imagine? Like, that's the most awkward, like... Good morning. What have you got on the agenda today?
Right.
Oh, I'm going on Good Morning Britain. What are you doing? Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing the Home Secretary. Oh, what are you doing? I'm being the Home Secretary. It was like a properly... Yeah, I don't understand who ever thought they'd get away with that.
Yeah.
Turns out it won't be happening again.
No.
go on, what's your next one? We're getting to call. How am I doing, by the way? I think I'm doing okay.
You're doing all right.
I'm doing better than I thought I would. Let's put it that way.
I'm going to have to come up with a new question 10 because you asked my question 10 for your question 1. So I'll think
I've got a bonus question for you as well.
What was Liz Truss's majority before losing her seat?
North Norfolk.
And I'll give it to you, the nearest, say, 200.
I mean, it was decent. Was it above or below 20K? It was above 20. Oh, it was about 25, wasn't it?
26,195.
Yeah, she got, it was like a big proper majority. Yeah, it was 26,000. Yeah. Did she actually ever, remind me, did she actually turn up on the stage at the end of the night?
She turned up on the stage. She didn't speak. She was holding herself terribly, terribly still.
Yes. What? So maybe we wouldn't see her. If you don't move, they can't see you.
I think she was trying to be controlled, is how I'm going to put this.
Yeah, she was sort of just trying to get through the moment, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
26,000 to nothing.
For a bonus, what was the name of the Labour candidate who beat her?
Oh, I absolutely haven't a clue and I couldn't pretend to.
Terry Jeremy.
Is he Jeremy or is he all right?
It's with a J, and he seems fine. I've only met him a couple of times.
So Liz Truss is now a bit germophobic.
Well, she's got that in common with Trump then.
Yeah. Oh, God. We were having a nice, Christmas party. We don't need to talk about him. Who is the most followed political journalist on Blue Sky? Caveat, I think this is the case. It was the case in about November. I checked the number yesterday and it was still huge, so I'm going with it.
Well, not Jesse Single?
No, on Blue Sky.
So Jesse's on Blue Sky now.
British political journalist.
I know Helen Lewis was the most blocked until Jesse joined. Adam Bienkoff?
It is. LBC's very own James O'Brien.
Of course it is. He's so Blue Sky.
And when I checked yesterday, he had over 198,000 followers.
Puts my 19,900 followers in the shade.
Puts my few hundred very much in the shade. At Charlotte Henry on Blue Sky, come join me. Bolster my numbers. Are you ready for a bonus question? This is a non-politics pop culture question.
Go on then. Oh, God. It's even worse.
Yeah, yeah. And what I'm really excited about is I think if you don't get it, there's going to be a lot of listeners shouting at you.
Oh, no, I won't get it. I don't know anything.
Who is Travis Kelce's girlfriend?
Taylor Swift.
Very good.
To be honest, my first thought was, who is Travis Kelce?
Yes, that's what I wanted you to think.
Oh, hang on. That's that footy kicking thing.
American football player. His position, I believe, is tight end.
Well, there you go. And does he?
I'll send you a picture off air. You can judge for yourself.
She's a very attractive and powerful woman. I'm sure she's not going out with a minger.
No, he's a very, handsome all-American hero. His brother's also very famous now, podcast and being on every form of media possible. So, yeah, Trevor, I knew if I said which, American footballer, you would get.
Yeah.
Get that it was, I was hoping.
Hoping to catch me out with that one.
By using the name, but yes. Taylor Swift likes her. No, I'm not going to say that. So yeah, there we go. I don't
Hang
know.
Hang on, I've got one more. Technically, I've got two more questions, but actually, I've only got one because you've already asked one of them.
Gold, right? Go on then.
Okay, so question number 9 for me: what is the name of Rishi Sunak's strategic genius chief of staff? Where is he now? And for a bonus point, what is my connection to him?
I don't want to know what your connection to him is, although I fear I can guess. he's the not bad-looking chap with a leather jacket, right?
These things are subjective.
But he's the leather jacket.
He does wear a leather jacket, yeah.
I think he's in the House of Lords now.
Yeah.
But I cannot for the life of me remember his name.
Liam Booth-Smith.
Liam Booth-Smith, who is now Lord Liam Booth-Smith.
Yeah. So I'll give you half a point for that, and you don't get the bonus point, which is that I took over a job from him. He was head of external affairs at the new local government network before I was.
There you go. See, as you were saying, all, you know, the connections you make in local government, the things people you can meet, the way you go.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, that was that working at that organisation was definitely a bonding experience for many of us.
Yep, and of course you are a strategic genius.
And I am a strategic genius, and in fact did not fall out with everybody else at the organisation.
We'll do an episode for paid listeners where Emma can dish the dirt on absolutely everything. Am I getting another question thrown at me?
Let me try and think of a question.
How am I doing, by the way? I think I've done okay. I'll do your quiz questions. I want to know, as I say, listeners, please do reach out to us on social media or something if you've how many of these questions you've got right. I think we've been quite fair to each other.
You've got 3.6 out of 9.
Okay, that's pretty horrific. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got 4.
Okay, so here's my
plus the Taylor Swift bonus
question for you, or question to replace the Ed Davey question.
Sure.
Which children's character stood in Holborn and St Pancras and was photographed with Keir Starmer?
Okay. Is this a children's character from our era?
We don't share an era. You're a lot younger than me.
Is it a...
You would know who this children's character was.
Was it a child... When I was a child, were they a relevant character?
Yes.
Oh, no, it can't be them. I was going to say Paddington, but it's the wrong constituency.
Yeah.
I assume that it has something to do with the constituency.
Not as far as I can tell.
Oh, I was hoping it was going to be Hoban is a children's character. Can I have a genre?
Children's television.
Is it an animal? Is it a human? What are we talking?
If I tell you that, I'm just totally giving it away.
I don't know. Go on.
Elmo.
Elmo stood in Hoban and St Pancras?
Yeah. Elmo.
As in Sesame Street?
As in Sesame Street, yeah. So that's hence I couldn't tell you human or animal, because Muppet would totally have given it away.
Well, there are a number of Muppets. A lot are in the government now. Boom, boom, shh. But yeah. Okay. Actually, I do remember this. I do remember the image on election night of Sir Keir Starmer getting his seat, knowing he was going to be Prime Minister.
And Elmo shaking just hands with Elmo, which is why I love British democracy.
I was going to say, is there anything more beautiful than the Prime Minister after being on stage with a Muppet, with a couple of members of the Monster Raving Loony Party? You know, this is what makes British democracy great, isn't it?
In order to ask you one of the questions I asked you, I watched Liz Truss losing her seat again last night.
Okay.
And one thing that definitely cheered me up was that the Monster Raving Loony Party got about 3 times the amount of votes as the Heritage Party.
They got right. And then, but there were some randomers standing there as well.
Well, one of the reasons, there were two big votes that ate into Truss's majority that allowed Labour to come through. One of them was reform, obviously. Sure. But the other was an independent called Bags, I think, who had tried to stop Truss being selected for that seat in the first place when she was first selected for it. And there'd been a massive amount of fallout about it. Because she got selected and then it came out that she had that affair. And yeah, it was a huge, huge scandal at the time.
We're talking originally as the Conservative candidate.
Originally as the Conservative candidate.
Oh.
The whole Turnip Taliban, do you remember that phrase? That
was vaguely
what kind of the whole, you know, they were the people who were all anti-Liz Truss when she was on the Cameron's Liberal A-list. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so this guy took his moment to have his Ruwengi.
Very good, Ruwengi. Well, I'm going to have to get my revenge on you because I think you comprehensively won that quiz.
I mean, I did better. You did very well. You did very well.
Just not well enough.
I mean, I think the people who really didn't do well enough are the Shadow Cabinet.
Yeah, absolutely. That will be amongst the topics we discuss next year. But I think we're going to have to go more into winter fuel payments, WASPI women. I'm sure there'll be some more foreign affairs as well. There's a lot to get stuck into next year.
Plenty to get our teeth into.
Well, till then, what is... I was going to ask you your highlight of political highlight of 2024.
I
thought I knew the answer. I do think I knew the answer. I don't know what mine was. I mean,
surely 72 seats for the Lib Dems is a bit of a highlight.
Yeah, I'm, without setting you off again, I'm not a particularly partisan, but obviously I wanted them to do well. So, yes, I guess so. That was about the only decent... Yeah, I guess so.
Nicola Sturgeon chewing a wasp on live television as the SNP got smacked about. That was quite a highlight.
Yeah, I think I possibly enjoyed that a bit more given the way she'd reacted to Jo Swinson losing her seat.
Well, quite, yeah.
I think that was a moment... That was a weird decision, wasn't it, to have her on live TV anyway?
It was. It was a weird decision for her to say yes.
And a very weird decision.
Did she not look at the polls and think, maybe I don't want to be reacting with a camera in my face?
Well, we'll be reacting to more next year. What do you think we should be looking forward to in terms of not as in things we'll like, but as in things that to keep on the agenda?
I mean, obviously, the Trump inauguration and then presidency is going to have a massive, massive impact on all of the things that we talk about, really.
Totally.
So that's kind of probably the main thing. Labour will have had a year in power by July, so there'll be kind of how are they doing? Has it bedded in? Have they sorted their comms out?
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it's just like which bit of the world is going to explode next.
Will the Shadow Cabinet actually make a mark?
Will we have heard of any more of the Shadow Cabinet by this time next year?
And joking aside, will Kimmy Badenoch have actually sort of got into a rhythm of opposition? Because, you know, the PMQs have all been a bit random. Yeah. It's all been... Anyway,
lot of discontent. Happening with Kemi Badenoch at the moment. I don't think she's in danger yet,
no.
But she's skirting the danger zone. She's on the highway to the danger zone.
Is there? There's literally nothing I can say that won't prompt a 80s song, is there?
You could take my breath away.
Okay.
Which is from the same film.
It is Christmas, so I'll let you get away with it. We're going to be having a break. Thank you so, so much for listening to us this year. We really do appreciate it. We appreciate the paid subscribers, patreon.com/House of Comments Podcast. Just before we go, there's one thing you and I always like to highlight over Christmas,
yes.
Which is Crisis at Christmas. We've done it for a couple of years in a row now. You've volunteered with them over a number of years. I've often donated. Because of your experience with them, tell them why it's such a wonderful organisation.
So what Crisis does is house people who are at the really, really sharp end of the homeless, like people living on the streets for, it used to be 1 week, it's now 2 weeks over the Christmas festive period. And it's not just putting them up in hotels. It used to be done in dormitories in schools, but it's largely now done in hotels. But within that period, they, provide advice. They provide things like AA, NA, CA, all of those wonderful things. Haircuts, manicures, entertainments, all sorts of extraordinary things. We used to joke when I was...
Sorry to interrupt, but this is... That all sounds a bit like... luxury, and it's not. They're things that make you feel absolutely human again.
Completely. The running joke amongst the Crisis Vols was that we would arrive on day before Christmas Eve, all looking perky and happy and clean and awake. And the guests would arrive, you know, tired and bedraggled, and the balance of that would tip over the week as we were doing these incredibly long, very difficult shifts, and they were getting manicures and haircuts and new clothes. We once had a year where Stormzy came in and just donated so much Adidas, it looked like an advert. It was just brilliant. This.
Yeah, so if you go to crisis.org.uk, you can donate there. It's £29.80. I think pays for one person. You can donate really whatever you like, though. It's the most incredible charity. I'm always pleased that we advocate for it on this show. As they say, they do things that make people just feel a bit restored and human again. They do health things, optometry.
Legal advice. Yeah. There are different levels of homelessness, and Crisis are really good at triaging that as well. So there are people who are never going to be housed in the traditional way, but they can be brought closer and closer to getting the systems and the services they need. But there are people, and I've seen these stories, and they're in fact volunteers I've worked with who have previously been homeless and helped by Crisis. So it really does make a huge difference to people's lives.
Yep, it truly does. So that's crisis.org.uk. We're off for a Christmas break. Where can you ignore people? Where can they message you and you'll ignore them over the Christmas break?
I will be sending out a newsletter this weekend and then probably not another one until the end of the year. So that's my newsletter is now called The Political Human. It's changed its name. And I'm also on Blue Sky at Emma Burnell.
I'm at Charlotte A. Henry across social media, and you can get newsletters, blog posts, podcasts across, at the intersection of culture, media and sport at theaddition.net. All that's left to say is Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening,
and a Happy New Year.